If you haven't met me before, my name's Richie. I'm one of the youth leaders at our church. This is going to be the last. So at Safari, we looked at the book of Philippians. That's where we saw the whole trash or treasure theme. And this is like the last talk in that series. So it's the sixth talk. It's as though it's the last talk on Safari, in a sense. And I thought before I get into the talk, I just wanted to thank a whole bunch of people for all the people who served on Safari, the leaders, the cooks, people doing the videos and all that sort of stuff. So I just wanted to take the opportunity out the front to say thank you to all you guys. It really has served the youth in helping them see that Jesus is their treasure. I'm going to pray now and then we'll get into it. So join with me in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come here together and sit underneath your word. We pray that today we would see that Jesus is a better treasure than anything else, and that he would be our treasure in every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm guessing you probably didn't know this, but my granddad, he was actually a bit of a war hero. He fought in World War II. He was one of the Rats of Tobruk. And he got heaps of medals for defending his country. I'm pretty sure he got a medal, which was one below the Victoria Cross, for rescuing a guy out of a German soldier out of a burning tank. He's got heaps of medals. When my nan died about 10 years ago, she left those medals for me in her will. That's what she left for me, those medals. And I treasure them. I really value them. But the thing is, I don't even exactly know where they are. I'm pretty sure they're tucked away in a cupboard somewhere, maybe in a dusty box at my mum's place where I used to live, something like that. And don't get me wrong, like, I really love having them. I'd be pretty devoed if they were gone. But sometimes a year or two will go by and I don't even think about them. They won't even cross my mind. Life goes on and the medals, they just don't come up. But what we're going to see today is that Jesus isn't a treasure like my granddad's war medals. He's not a dusty family heirloom that you leave on the shelf. He's a treasure that you take with you wherever you go. We're meant to treasure Jesus in all the circumstances of life. Always. So for the whole week at Safari, we looked at the book of Philippians and we saw that Jesus is our treasure, and compared to him, everything else is trash. Now see, that's what the whole trash or treasure thing is about. Is Jesus your treasure? Or are you treasuring something that's trash compared to him? But Jesus isn't a treasure that we leave in a dusty box in storage. He's a treasure that stays with us every day of our life. Is Jesus always your treasure? No matter what situation comes your way. Or is Jesus more like a family heirloom to you? Life's busy, problems come up, but Jesus, he just gets left on the shelf. Say you're a youthie, right? You can't say, yeah, Jesus, you're awesome for saving me. Yeah, Jesus, you're my treasure. And you say that at Friday at youth and maybe Sunday at church, then Monday morning rolls round with a whole new set of problems. You worry about what you'll wear today, what your classmates will think of you. You hope you'll be able to get all your assignments done. And Jesus doesn't really cross your mind. And I'm sure it's not just our youth who experience something like that, is it? See, all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus stops being the thing we value most. But no, Jesus is to be our treasure all the time, in all the ups and downs of life. Look how Paul says it in Philippians 4:4. If you've got your Bibles open, look how he says it there straight up. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And it's not the first time he said that. He said it in 3 verse 1 in Philippians. He said, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. And it's the message of the book. Treasure Jesus. Find your contentment, happiness and joy in Jesus. In the Lord. Have Jesus as number one and rejoice in him. And rejoice means being genuinely happy. Being satisfied and full of joy. If you're on safari, it's that Christian hedonism stuff that we were talking about, if you remember that. But Paul doesn't say, you just gotta go around and put on a happy face all the time, trying to rejoice just because we're supposed to. He tells us to rejoice in the Lord. So that the thing that gives us genuine happiness is Jesus himself. And we rejoice in Jesus all the time. Now, I can imagine you'd be thinking, that sounds like pretty hard work, hey? That's tough. How could I do that? How could I rejoice in Jesus all the time? Or maybe, why would I even want to? Well, it's because Jesus is actually worth rejoicing in. Let me tell you a story, right? So one time, it was probably about 6 years ago now, I was overseas, and on this particular day, I had the most delicious ice cream in the world. I'm putting that out there, the most delicious ice cream in the world. It was like vanilla and coconut, but it was handmade ice cream with real coconut, and it was served in this little bamboo bowl, and it was rich yet refreshing. And it was so good that for a number of years afterwards, I couldn't look at other ice creams the same way. They were just dull and boring and tasteless in comparison. Now, do you reckon it was hard for me to delight in that ice cream? Do you reckon, as I took one scoop and then another, do you reckon it was really hard work for me to enjoy it? Of course not. Why not? Because it was great. It was yummy. And do you reckon it was really tough for me to like it more than other ice creams? Of course not. Because it was better. See, the reality is that Jesus is so delicious, so satisfying, that when we get a taste of him, it's not hard work to rejoice in him. It's only natural that we treasure him above everything else because he's better than everything else. Now listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3:8. That's a key verse we had a crack at memorizing before. This is what Paul says. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul's got a taste of Jesus, and he considers everything else trash compared to him. Knowing Jesus beats everything. Why? Why? Well, because Jesus laid down his life for us. When we were grasping to take a high position, we wanted ourselves at number one, to run life our way. When we were grasping to take that high position, he came down from his high position to take a lowly one. He humbled himself to the lowliest position of all, to death on a cross for us. He took on our lowly position, dying in our place. But he didn't just take on our lowly position. He gave us his high position. He gave us his status as God's children. He gave us his righteousness, his right standing with God. We saw a little bit of that on safari about Jesus humbling himself. Who's the humblest of them all? It's Jesus. But what else do we see about Jesus on safari? What makes him better? Why is he better? Well, Jesus gives us assurance. That's what we saw in Youngie's talk. He gives us security for eternity when everything else in life is so insecure. And we saw in Mark's talk that for us, to die is gain. Jesus makes our death into something that we can look forward to. This is good stuff. In Sam's talk, we saw when we feel like we don't really fit in anywhere, Jesus gives us a home in heaven. See, Jesus is worth treasuring. It makes sense to treasure him. And Paul commands the Philippians and us as fellow Christians to rejoice in Jesus always. And then as he finishes the letter, the last bit of the letter, Paul tackles two circumstances where it can be really tough to rejoice in Jesus. When we're anxious and when we're short of cash. How can we rejoice in Jesus when we're filled with worry or when finances are tight? Well, we'll see that we can't leave Jesus packed away in storage. We've got to get him out and see how he's relevant for every aspect of our lives. So, first thing Paul hits, anxiety. Now, I'm sure that you guys know anxiety, right? When you can't go to sleep at night because you've got something racing through your brain. Or when you're afraid that you're going to stuff up again. Or when you worry what your friends think of you. What do they think of me? Or maybe it's what your boss thinks of you. Perhaps you're someone who gets nervous before you go someplace where there's lots of people. Church, youth, a party. Or it could be the pressure of exams or meeting work deadlines that really gets you tense. Now, we all feel it at times, don't we? But what is it for you? What do you get anxious about? When do you get anxious? And it seems like there's a lot more anxiety out there in the world than there is rejoicing, doesn't it? But what should we do when we're anxious? How are we supposed to rejoice in Jesus in those moments? Well, check out straight up what Paul has to say in verse 6. He says it very bluntly. In verse 6 there he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Paul says not to be anxious about anything at all. What are we to do instead? Don't be anxious. Instead, pray. Prayer. When you get anxious, pray. How often for you, say you feel some sort of anxiety, right? And you're feeling that. It could be anything. How often is prayer the first response for you? A few weeks ago, I was laying in bed. And I was anxious. I was thinking something was racing through my brain. I was starting to get angry. I was frustrated. And in the back of my mind, there was this niggling thought, oh, maybe I should pray. And I was like, no, I can handle this. I've got to deal with this situation. And the cycle continued. The anxiety continued. And finally, I was like, man, I need to entrust this to God. And it was such a relief to pray and admit, I can't handle this. I can't control it. But I'm trusting you, God. See, prayer is the opposite to worry. See, worry comes because we're trying to control the situation. And we think, man, this is maybe outside of my control. So we worry. But we need to realize God is in control. And prayer is realizing God is in control and relying on God rather than on ourselves. And notice there that we're to, say if you got your Bibles open in verse 6, it says we're to pray in a particular way. We're to pray with thanksgiving. And that doesn't mean we should pray like this. You don't say, God, I pray I won't be anxious about pimples. Please take them away. Thank you in advance. It's not, praying with thanksgiving isn't thanking God in advance or something like that. Praying with thanksgiving means praying with thankfulness for all that we've already received, and especially for all the treasure that we have in Jesus, that he loves us, that he's gone to the cross for us. See, let's pray with an attitude of thankfulness, remembering how good God has been to us, even though we're not deserving. And there's something I reckon that's really cool about prayer with thanksgiving. What it does is it helps us dig deeper into our hearts. It helps us actually to identify what we're treasuring instead of Jesus. So imagine you pray right and you say, thank you for all that you've done for me in Jesus. Thank you that even though I'm anxious, you still accept me. Thank you, God, that I'm so secure in my relationship with you. And you go on thanking God. And then you say, Father, please help me pass my exam tomorrow and get a boyfriend. So, what's going on? How does this fit in? Why am I so worried? Why am I treasuring my marks, a boyfriend, whatever it may be, when Jesus is so much better, more valuable? See, prayer, it actually helps us to rejoice in Jesus. It actually helps us to treasure him. And you know why I reckon we don't pray sometimes? It's because we already know what we're anxious about isn't what God really wants for us. But every time we're anxious, every time, the Bible tells us to pray. And when you pray, it might be worth asking God, in my anxiety, what am I treasuring instead of you? So what do you get anxious about? And when you're anxious, is prayer your first response? Do you pray with thankfulness for Jesus? What I'm going to do now, it's a little bit different to what we normally do halfway through a talk. So I'm going to need everyone's attention, particularly your Year 7 boys over there. Total attention for everyone because you're going to have to do something now. What I want you guys to do is to actually pick one thing that you're anxious about. So pick something you're anxious about and we're going to put it into practice. We're going to pray now. So pick something in your mind. It could be anything. It could be grades, relationship problems, money, your kids, your future, some weakness or fear. Think of something that you're anxious about. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give you guys a couple of minutes just quietly to pray about that thing. And we're going to pray, like this. So when you pray, start off by thanking God. Pray for that thing that you worry about. And then ask him, is there anything that I'm treasuring above Jesus in this anxiety? So that's what we're actually going to do now. And I'm going to give you guys a couple of minutes to do that silently. But I suppose if you're not someone who believes in God, who prays, something like that, don't feel that you're being forced into praying. Maybe just sit quietly and think about why you don't pray. But for everyone else, I'm going to give you guys 2 minutes to have a crack at praying like this. So go for it. You can continue praying through that later. And I hope for you that's the start or the continuation of a lifetime where prayer is your first response to anxiety. Prayer as a first response to anxiety. We've seen how we are to rejoice in Jesus in anxiety, haven't we? It's by praying with thanksgiving. It's by praying with thanksgiving. That's how we treasure Jesus in that often untouched area of our life. And if we're going to take Jesus with us as our treasure through all of life, then anxiety, it's one huge area. And there's hundreds of areas we could talk about, of course, our whole life, rejoicing in Jesus through our whole life. But the one other area that Paul hits is times of financial hardship. And we're just going to check that out now and see what he says. But the thing that many of us actually get anxious about is money, isn't it? Is Jesus your treasure when money is tight? Well, he actually was for both Paul and for the Philippian church. How did they do it? Check out verse 11 halfway through and Paul's talking and he says, "For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." He's learned the secret of being content no matter the circumstances. Paul knows how to be content when he's wealthy or when he's poor, when he's got food on the table or when he doesn't. He's like one of those little kids who doesn't, there's a few of them around, they don't need all the latest gadgets. They're just happy playing in the mud with a couple of sticks and a rock. He's content no matter the situation. What's Paul's secret? How does he do it? Well, he lets us in on that secret in verse 13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, I've seen this verse 13, posted on Facebook and things like that. Every time someone gets a new job or comes first in athletics, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. But in context, that's not really the type of stuff Paul's talking about, is it? The everything that he's talking about is living in want or living in plenty. The secret is that he can do being wealthy through him who gives him strength, and he can do poverty through him who gives him strength. Jesus is enough for him no matter what else he has. No matter what his situation, Jesus is all that he needs. Basically, Paul is saying that Jesus is such a satisfying treasure that our financial situation doesn't really matter. We don't find our contentment in financial security and money. We find it in Jesus. And what that means is that we can be generous even if we are poor. In verse 14 through 18, we didn't read it, but Paul basically thanks the Philippian church for all the gifts they gave him when he was in need. But one thing that we need to realize is that these Philippian Christians were dirt poor. Paul talks to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and this is what he says. These guys, the Philippian church was a Macedonian church. He says, "We want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability." Because the Philippians had joy in Jesus, because they treasured him, it meant that they were generous even in extreme poverty. Treasuring Jesus, it leads to costly generosity because we're willing to give up things that aren't our treasure for the good of others, and especially for the good of them knowing and treasuring Jesus. So what does it look like to treasure Jesus in times of financial hardship? It means we'll be totally content no matter how dire the situation, because Jesus is enough. But not only will we be content, we'll be happy to give away as much as we can, we'll be happy to give away as much as we can for the benefit of others. Are you treasuring Jesus when it comes to money? Do you even think about Jesus when you worry about money, do you even think about Jesus at those times? Or when you decide how to spend it, is Jesus in your mind? Seeing that Jesus is everything will lead to generosity even when we're poor. But I reckon for many of us, money ain't that tight. In fact, I want have a guess. Where do you reckon the United Nations ranks Australia on their Human Development Index, the living standards? Where do you think Australia ranks in the world in terms of living standards? What do you reckon? Maybe 17th in the world, maybe. Or you might think maybe top 10, 9th in the world, living standards. Well, the fact is, we're actually number 2. We used to be number 1, but now we're number 2 in the world in living standards. So we basically have pretty much the highest living standards in the world. So in some ways, all this talk about being content in times of poverty, it's less relevant for us than almost anybody else. But Paul also talks about being content in Jesus in wealth, in prosperity. Are we content in Jesus in our prosperity, in our plenty? If Jesus is our treasure, we'll be giving away heaps of what we have, because it won't be our treasure. And just a couple of things. Parents, for parents, are you guys setting a good example of being generous with your money? If your kids, if your youth looked at you, would they say, yeah, it's obvious that my parents, they value Jesus above money. They value him above work. They value him above financial security. I can see that as a kid. But what about for you youthies? Have you guys probably don't have all that much money compared to your parents and stuff like that. But has the idea even, have you ever thought about the idea of giving some of it away? Have you thought about giving some of the little that you have to church, to an overseas missions organization or aid or something like that? See, if you only got a little bit of money now and you're hanging on to all of it for yourself, when you get more, you're going to do exactly the same thing. So talk to your parents or a youth leader, someone, about ways that you can be generous with your money. So are you taking Jesus with you through all life circumstances? Or is he stuck in a dusty storage cupboard? You might say that you treasure Jesus. But do you treasure him in the nitty-gritty aspects of life? We spent heaps of time thinking about worry and money and how we're to treasure Jesus there. But is Jesus shaping your whole life, each and every aspect of it? And for the youth, you guys went on safari. You had an awesome time. You saw that Jesus is your treasure. But safari's over now. Will you leave Jesus on safari? Or was he only your treasure on safari? Or will he be your treasure tomorrow and the next day and every moment of every day after that? Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And our Lord and Savior is worth rejoicing in all the time. He's better than any other treasure out there. I might get all the youth now. They may or may not know this is happening. I want to get all the youth now to stand up, and all the youth leaders as well. So stand up. I'm going to get you guys to say the key verse for me. This says why Jesus is a better treasure. We're going to say the key verse. Jesus is better than any other treasure out there. So I need you guys to shout really loud too. Otherwise this will look lame. So 3, 2, 1. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Philippians 3:8. Beautiful. Take a seat. Well, I'm going to pray now that that verse is true of our lives all the time. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that Jesus is for us, that he's gone to the cross for us, that he's humbled himself in that way when we were undeserving. And Father, we pray that we would be rejoicing in Jesus all the time, that we would see him as such a great treasure that everything else is trash compared to him. And that would be the case, especially in times of anxiety or when it comes to money. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.